Welcome to the Our Savior Speaks podcast from Our Savior Episcopal Church, located at 4227 Columbia Road in Martinez, Georgia. Through this podcast, we'll be sharing messages of hope and encouragement that can be found in the life and lessons of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will also explore ways in which God can work through each of us to make our Lord's grace and love a reality for all of humanity. In the sermon for this week, we will hear how God can communicate with us at inconvenient times and in unconventional ways. I will note how if we limit our awareness of God to worship services, then we might be missing out on other unexpected instances when God is trying to reach us. The lessons for this week will offer examples showing how we have no control over how or when our Lord chooses to speak with us, which means that we should always be attentive. In a moment, we will hear lessons from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20, from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 5 and 12 through 17, from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 5 through 12, and from Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 23 through chapter 3, verse 6.
A reading from the book of Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel, Samuel," got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not know yet, but Lord and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. And therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli, but Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son," he said. "Here I am," Eli said. "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We shall now chant Psalm 139 found in your bulletin inserts. Second reading is a letter of Paul to the Corinthians. We do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was a high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So as we listen to Deacon Sandy read today's passage from Mark's Gospel, we might be wondering, why were the Pharisees making such a big deal about the Sabbath? Most of us, we likely consider today as our Sabbath, while other faith traditions might observe their Sabbath at different times. So on what we call the Sabbath, we usually come to church and do exactly what we're doing now. We are here to attend services or online, but yet we're here together in this time of worship. Those of you who are here, we might go afterwards over to the parish hall for a time of fellowship with coffee hour, and then maybe go home or go to lunch or maybe do a little shopping before heading back to the house. For most of us, though, the defining characteristic of a Sabbath is that we are not engaging in our regular routines. That is, of course, unless you become an ordained clergy person. So in Mark's Gospel, Jesus is telling the Pharisees, "The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure this probably went over like a lead balloon with the Pharisees, but it was a true statement, because it appears that they had forgotten why the Sabbath even existed. It seems as though they had become more focused on enforcing the law rather than considering the Sabbath as a time for rest and reflection and really reconnecting with God in discerning where God may be leading them and really us now to serve. They were trying to make really the law bend to their expectations rather than seeing it as something that can help us better connect with God. Now, when it comes to expectations, we are no strangers to expectations. We lead lives that are filled with many, many expectations, especially in the ways in which we communicate with each other. When we need to speak with someone about an important topic, we normally schedule a time to meet with them that works best for everyone. Now, for example, many of you have come to me on different occasions and asked if we could meet. And usually the first thing I do is I pull out my cell phone, I look at my calendar, and then we agree on a day and a time that works best for us so that really we can have as much time as we need that won't be interrupted for our discussion. So finding a time that is convenient is often an expectation, and quite honestly, it's a common courtesy, but it's not necessarily the way God operates, as we see in today's pericope from 1 Samuel. Long before he becomes Israel's last judge, who will anoint Saul and then later David as kings, Samuel, he was here in this passage in training, if you will, under the watchful care of Eli. Now, one night he was lying down in the temple when he hears, "Samuel, Samuel," to which he answers, "Here I am," thinking that, well, maybe his mentor Eli had called him. This happens not once, not twice, but three times before Eli realizes that the Lord must be calling the boy. No set date, no set time, no syncing of calendars, no regard for the time of day, and certainly no expectation from Samuel to hear from God. In fact, when he hears what the Lord has to say, Samuel may have wished he had never been given the message because it is a prophecy against his mentor, Eli. The next day, Samuel receives another call, but this time it's from Eli. Eli wants to know what he had been told by the Lord, and well, Samuel answers, possibly reluctantly, but faithfully, he answers, "Here I am." Samuel relays the message to Eli, who thankfully understands that there is no need for any ill will towards Samuel, who is just the messenger. Samuel is called at an unexpected hour, in an unfamiliar way. He listens, even when he doesn't recognize God's voice, and he follows through with the mission that he is given. Samuel's story reminds me, really, of something that happened with Val and me several years ago. It was the year 2008. And at that time, we had just come back from a trip to Suwanee, Tennessee, visiting up there. We felt that God was calling us to seminary at some point. I was happy, really, to put this decision off as long as possible, hopefully, as any of us would want to do, to kind of get things in order in our lives before making a life-altering move. But God had other plans. I've described it many times as like we were getting on a roller coaster before you firmly put that seatbelt or pulled the bar down far enough before taking off. Doors started opening, things started falling into place, and decisions needed to be made that were clearly not pointing to a time in the distant future. Everything came to a head in May of 2008, and we were moved and living in Suwanee, Tennessee by August of 2008. God was calling, even when we felt completely unprepared. But yet our Lord provided all that was needed every step of the way, even when we could not see the next step. Through this experience, Val and I really learned a valuable lesson about not being able to control God's timing. Even though God can move at any time, I believe that an intentional Sabbath time for our benefit, it can open the door to a new awareness of the ways in which God might be trying to get our attention. Our lives are often so busy and filled with worries and distractions, we might be missing how God really is trying to reach out to us if we're not paying attention. By engaging in Sabbath rest, we might actually discover that God is speaking to us and maybe at the same time wondering if it is really God speaking or if it's just our own thoughts. This is why we need to set aside time for discernment, time for prayer that can create space for our Lord to reach us in ways that may go beyond words. As we listen deeply in discerning where God is leading, we're actually taking the first steps in allowing our Lord to guide us by faith on paths where God gets the glory, and we're often amazed. If we're not careful, making regular attendance at church the only time we think about connecting with God, well, that might cause us to be at risk of becoming complacent in our faith to the unpredictable times and unexpected ways that God may be reaching out to each of us. We may become so focused on this time where we have the right music and the right prayers, the right readings, hopefully the right sermon, that we might lose sight, really, of how our Lord could be encouraging us to follow some unforeseen path that might just be leading us in a new direction. Similar to the way God calls Samuel at an unexpected hour, we actually see Jesus doing something in a way that looks kind of similar to that. As I said, he's calling the Pharisees, not maybe at an hour, but it's actually inconvenient day. Easy for me to say, right? He is calling on them really to re-examine what should be the focus of their piety. In Mark's gospel, we are told how the Pharisees actually accused Jesus' disciples of working on the Sabbath by plucking the heads of grain in the fields. Later, Jesus challenges them by asking, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" Now, as the Pharisees remain silent, Jesus says to the man with the withered hand, "Stretch out your hand." It goes from withered to fully restored. And I believe that our Sabbath time, it can really be compared to how this man is stretching his hand out toward Jesus. By having his attention firmly focused on what Jesus is saying, he's ignoring distractions, he listens for our Lord's directive, and in reaching out to Jesus, he is healed. Think of how we could possibly benefit if we choose to follow this man's example in reaching out to our Lord. In each of today's lessons, we are reminded that God is far greater than cherished words of Scripture, traditions of worship, and observances that can become idolatrous if they are the sole focus of our devotion. Our Lord's unpredictable nature, it can actually jolt us into realizing that God is God and we are not. As Paul says in his second letter to the Corinthians, extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. When wondering how we might connect with God's extraordinary power, we may recall Jesus saying, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath." By reflecting on this truth and other scenes from today's lessons, I believe that our focus should be on bonding with God in ways that draw us out of our regular routines to see the world anew, to see it from God's perspective. This does not mean that we're trying to control, but rather always making ourselves completely available to God. So with a healthy adherence to regular, ongoing Sabbath time, we are actually opening ourselves to communications that might occur at inconvenient times and in inconceivable ways that fall right in line with our Lord's perfect timing. Amen.